Did you dare watch yourself back yet from last week?
Oh God, no. I'm not going to do that.
This is Trainer Talk, the podcast, brought to you by Sharon Gaskin of the Trainers Training Company and me, Jeanette Tessier of the Get That Gang. In our weekly show, we cover news and views from our businesses, along with a top-of-mind topic. Of course, it wouldn't be Trainer Talk, the podcast, without the Dog Walking Digest, and every now and again we invite a guest along to share their experience and expertise. After 90 episodes of just audio, we're now on YouTube as well. So feel free to catch up there. Just search for the Trainers Training Company or the Get That Gang, or download us on audio only through your favourite podcast streamer. So why not sit back with a cuppa, make that journey or chore go a little bit quicker with our weekly inspiration for developing your training business.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Trainer Talk, the podcast, and we're at episode number 92. So here we are again, Sharon. The world didn't explode after we put our faces on YouTube last week, so that's all right. How are you doing?
I am very good, thank you, this morning. I'm basking in the winter wonderland that is Swansea.
So yes, I don't think we'd get away with not talking about the snow that most of the country enjoyed over the weekend, eh?
Yeah, well, it's really quite bizarre because, you know, when we moved here, we were told, in very certain terms that it never snows in Swansea, with it being by the sea and everything. And so that was what we expected. So, you know, and yet another thing that has been totally wrong since we moved here. I woke up yesterday and, you know, it's snowing basically. Oh, it did snow yesterday, you know, quite thick as well. And it's all turned to white. It's very, very icy here. It looks very, very pretty at the moment. And as I said to you just now, when I look out of my window, my back window in the kitchen, with all the hills, it looks like I'm in Switzerland. The Swiss Alps from my kitchen window, don't you know?
Singing about lonely goat herds and that kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Because I was saying, just when we were having our little sort of prelim chat, I was saying that it's not unheard of, but it is quite rare to get snow in Bournemouth, although I have seen snow on a sandy beach, which is a really weird sight. But as per pretty much every weekend at the moment, because it's my support bubble, I'm up at Mum and John's. They only live probably 20 miles north of here, so, you know, it's not very far away, maybe less than that actually, about 17 miles. And the difference between here and there is usually about 2 or 3 degrees difference in temperature, which most of the time you don't really notice that much, but certainly you know the difference obviously between it snowing and not snowing.
So yeah,
we woke up yesterday morning and of course it was snow up at theirs, and it was a glorious walk. I mean, it was forecast to be sleeting for the rest of the day, which it didn't. So lovely walk with the dogs, and Scamp absolutely adores the snow, which is great. He was eating it on the way round, which is a new behaviour.
Tastes nice.
Yes, quite. Don't eat the yellow snow. Now that's a different story. So that was a lovely, lovely walk. But I was keeping an eye on the temperature for coming back last night, because if it dropped too low and the roads are kind of defrosted a bit and then iced up again, it could have been quite treacherous, because they do live up a bit of a hill. And I know you live on a hill, don't you?
Yeah.
People were worrying about that.
Yeah.
So, but luckily it kind of came to nothing. And I mean, there's nothing down here, but I would imagine for them it's virtually gone.
Very, very, very wintry, very nice. It's lovely. Well, on a day like today, when it's lovely and nice and sunny, and you can just look at it without having to go anywhere, you know. So
exactly,
which is just really, really nice.
We were saying, you know, we want to wake up to the snow, have a nice walk in the snow, and then we want it to go away again, and that's enough. Thank
exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So what were you up to last week then, this last week?
Do you know what? It's one of those where it's kind of, what did I do last week? The weeks are seeming to go very, very quickly. But one thing I did do last week, as well as hosting the rabble at 1 o'clock on Friday.
Well, indeed. Thank you so much for that. Hey, and I will explain why I wasn't there in a moment.
Indeed. But last week was just sort of ploughing through various to-do lists and getting things up and running and sorting out some stuff for where I want the business to go this year. Yeah. So a lot of behind the scenes stuff and also getting on with things that needed to be got on with, frankly. Lots of stuff still going on behind the scenes for your website and all those bits and pieces and various other ones that I'm working on as well. And a few other things besides. But what I've done now is finally launch the new Facebook group for the Get That Gang. Which is where I'll be sort of concentrating my Facebook efforts outside of Trainer Talk, obviously. So trying to record some videos for doing that and having Facebook going, record. No, you can't record, no.
Computer says no.
Completely. And that was a bit frustrating at one point, for sure. But it was nice to end the week, albeit with the rabble, with 1 o'clock. So for anybody listening that isn't part of the Train Talk community and hasn't heard us talking about this before, 1 o'clock is something that you instigated during the first lockdown, wasn't it, Cheryl? Which was sort of just 5 o'clock on a Friday evening. We all gather on a Zoom and just, you know, chew the fat, drink alcohol. For those that want to, yes, exactly. Beverage of choice. So I was on tea on Friday. But lots of people, you know, they just have a glass of wine, wind down and just catch up with each other. And it was really lovely because we had two, really, technically speaking, of our newer members came along. So we had Andy and Ben in there. And of course, that thus ensued lots of jokes about, oh no, we're going to put you off now. Ha ha ha. Yeah. You know, kind of thing. But it was great. They stayed the course. So it was fabulous. It was really good fun. Really good fun.
Yeah. Oh, so, good, good, good. Good.
How about you?
Nice.
How was your week?
Well, my week was a bit like, you know, just was very, very busy. Mm-hmm. There's just like loads going on at the moment, so I am really conscious of the fact right now that we are recording and the sun is like in my eyes. I'm like, okay, who cares? we'll just plow on. But so it's been really, really busy and lots going on in Trainer Talk and Complete Trainer and different mentoring clients that I've got. So, but on Wednesday I actually had unexpectedly a Zoom day, which was actually really, really nice. I've not had a no Zoom day for a while, because if you remember, I'd kind of instituted these Freedom Fridays, which I said a few months ago, right, on a Friday I'm not going to do any Zooms, so I'm going to have at least one day a week where I don't have to pitch up and speak to anybody on Zoom. But you know, all that has gone out the window already due to the volume of work and things I'm involved in at the moment. So so it was quite nice to have a no Zoom day on Wednesday in the knowledge that it's probably going to be the last one that I have for a while. So
did you have any inkling beforehand, or did you just sort of rock up to your diary in the morning and go, oh that's nice?
No, well, somebody, one of my mentoring clients wanted to change it to next week, that was the only thing that I did have in the diary that day, Zoom wise. So it was like really nice. It was like, oh yeah,
lovely.
Great.
Proper unexpected. Oh, that's nice when that happens. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because when you know it's coming along, I mean, it's still great, but when you know it's coming along, there is I don't know if you're like me, there's a tendency to go, oh good, I'll get that done, that and on that. And then all of a sudden I have a massively long to-do list for this one free day, so to speak, that I've got. But when it happens unexpectedly, I think there's almost an additional joy in it, isn't there?
Oh yeah, there was definitely an additional joy about it. Just not having to pitch up and look at yourself in the flipping camera. I find that I was talking to somebody about this last week, and she was sort of saying the same. It's that it's not so much the talking to other people, which is for me, you know, that's where I get my energy from, and I love it, and it's great, and all the rest of it. But it's this constant having to see yourself on the screen all the time. It's just, it's just all like now, you know, it's like, God, Why do I have to, you know?
I don't know. You see, I mean, it's not as if we're, even when we weren't recording this knowing that the video was going out, we would still have the Zoom chat and be able to see each other. So it's not like you haven't had enough practice at it.
Oh, I know. Exactly. And that's the thing I find. You just sort of like, you're constantly just looking at yourself all the time. It's just a weird thing. And I think, you know, I think a lot of people do feel like that on Zoom. It's not the, because when you're running an event, when you're running, you know, a training course or whatever, you know, and you're looking out at all the people, mm-hmm. you can't see yourself, can you? You're not looking at yourself. You know, you're just getting on with it and you just don't. But when you're on Zoom, you're just there and you see yourself all the time. It's.
But do you not find, I mean, I'm not trying to cure you in the space of 2 minutes, but do you not find that you're looking into your webcam, so you're not actually looking at yourself? So yeah, you can see yourself probably in your peripheral vision when it's just like the two of us now, but when it's a big meeting, surely it's more difficult to pick yourself out, isn't it?
Oh no.
Yeah. You're just more
you're
aware.
Holding on it, you know. It's
is
like,
that right?
Oh, God.
Okay. All right, there's no hope for her. There's no hope for her at all. Listeners, watchers, however you are consuming this podcast, that's it. She's a lost cause.
Yeah. I mean, it's not going to stop me, you know, doing stuff, because I have to. Obviously, that is what my business is all about, yeah. You know, and the kind of showing up on Zoom and showing up on Facebook Live and all those sorts of things. I will continue to do that, but it's not, it's just this, you know, being confronted like with yourself yep. all the time, particularly when your hair just looks in a constant mess.
Oh, great.
Like
here
it does at the moment.
Here we go. It really doesn't. It really doesn't. And I think actually that length suits you. I do.
Oh,
I know you think it looks a complete mess and all the rest of it. And we have talked at length in previous podcast episodes and giggled a lot about your hair. And, you know, getting hairbrushes stuck in it and that kind of thing. But it really doesn't look as awful as you imagine at all. In fact, it doesn't look awful at all. That's not a word that I would use to describe it. Okay. I think you look very smart and neat, so there you go.
Well, you know, I did, that's because I washed it last night. So I did the fringe, you know, I brushed it down that we can just to see to you know, giving it my that lovely Highland cattle look again, you know. And it is literally like, so it's about there at the moment, you know. And it's just, and what I'm trying to do is like, and my hairdresser was going that way last time I had it cut to, so you know, to sort of sweep it to the side kind of thing.
Yeah.
But she also, to do that, she chops them out on the other side to give it, and it's, so it's in that, and it's not quite long enough to let, I don't know, to do, because you have to wait till it grows down there. Oh, and so I'm in that sort of in the middle as well. It's just like, so if I put it to the side, it's not quite there, but then if I go down, I can't see, and it's like, oh.
Trials.
The alternative is to take the scissors to it, but I'm like, you know, I don't want to do that.
I know.
I'm looking a mess.
That is, I mean, you know, if your hair's as long as mine, so, you know, I've got a fair amount of length on mine. It's been longer, but I've got a fair amount of length on the moment. You can kind of get away with it. You know, I mean, it could look neater, but it looks okay at the moment. But your fringe is something. Your fringe is one where if you get that wrong, that's really obvious, isn't it?
But you're one of these lucky people whose hair just grows that way, whereas mine grows that way.
Yeah, yours just goes straight out.
Yeah. It goes outwards. It's like, oh. Anyway, yeah. So, you know, and I'm like, I can't believe I'm in this situation yet again after the torture I went through last year for 6 months, and now I'm now in it again. But, you know, but hey ho.
Hey ho indeed. Hey ho indeed. It's these things we have to put up with, right? So apart from all that, what else did you do last week?
Well, this weekend, and that was one of the reasons that I wasn't at the reason I wasn't at Wine O'Clock on Friday was all about the Spiritual Resilience Mastermind Extravaganza. Because I call it extra, because I've been on this program since June last year, so it was 9 months, and this was the final weekend. And when the program was first set up, what we were going to do was meet face to face for this final, you know, this final extravaganza. But of course we didn't. So how they did it was to have three meetings on Friday, Saturday and Sunday, mm-hmm. to sort of end the program. And I have to say, you know, what a journey this has been. It's been a revelation because how it started, we talked about this, didn't we, 9 months ago. And if you were listening to the podcast, then you will have heard me talk about it. But just to refresh your memory, so for the last sort of 2 years or so I've been doing stuff with Michael Neal. And if you don't know Michael Neal, he's basically a coach, and his area of expertise is all about, you know, thought and thinking and getting you to think in a different way. And I really, really got into it, and it made an amazing difference to the way I was thinking. And so, you know, I did, oh, a lovely little robin is just just landed up there, you know, and did, you know, all of his courses, and mm-hmm. I really got into it and everything. And then about a year ago, about 10 months ago, so this thing popped up, the Spiritual Resilience Mastermind. That he was doing with Robert Holden. And I kind of knew of Robert, but I didn't have, you know, hadn't been on any of his courses or anything. And it was one of these things, it just popped up. And I was like, I don't know why, but I've just got to do that. I have no idea what it is, but I just know that I have to do it. It was really weird. And I remember I talked to you about it, didn't I? Going on the first session, which was, and I've got my little book here.
Yeah.
So the first session that we had was the 6th of June. So the 6th of June was the first full day, sort of mastermind day that we had. Mm-hmm. And I remember sitting there thinking, I have no idea what this is all about. And the first question they asked us was, exploring what is spiritual resilience? And I wrote down, I know what resilience is, but I have no idea about the spiritual bit. I didn't even know what it was, you know, because I always thought it was, you know, being religious, and, you know, I've never been religious, and I was a bit worried that this thing would be a religious thing, and mm-hmm. I'm not really, but as it, so, and I was literally going, well, what am I doing here? And I thought, no, okay, you just stick with it and just sort of see mm-hmm. what develops. And it developed into, then I read all Robert's books, because he's written tons of books. I've read them all this year, about 3 times each. now I'm in his, he does another thing called A Course in Miracles, which is also this sort of spiritual Bible thing.
Yeah.
And so now I'm in this group that he's teaching throughout the year. And I just think to myself, what's happened to me? Why am I... But because it's just been incredibly, it's just been a revelation. It's just been something that, you know, when you just kind of open yourself up to something just completely different.
Mm-hmm. Something new.
And instead of like making judgments about it, you don't judge, and you just go, I'm just going to sit with this, and I'm literally just going to see where it takes me.
Yeah.
And it's just taken me to some amazing places, and I just the difference it's made
in what, the in way what respect, I, so give me an example.
Well, it's just the way I think, you know, again, it's just how you just sort of being you know, a lot calmer about things.
Yeah.
Just having that sort of, you know, appreciation for, despite what's going on, for the, you know, for the good things in your life, you know, the sort of positivity, the sort of, you know, she says going on about her hair all the time, but I was going to say this sort of self-acceptance, you know.
Watching yourself on Zoom, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in the main. And it's just, I don't know, it's, and yes, of course, you know, we all have, you know, we have little flare-ups and things where you kind of, you know, lose your temper over and get exasperated. But in the main, I would say that it's generally, I have a quite a different approach to life, really.
Yeah.
And it's just absolutely
more
accept, you know, being a more, and also it's, again, it has really taught me to just and continues to teach me, because I'm still on this journey.
And I
think now that this is it, I am going to be on this journey now for the rest of my life, because mm-hmm. it's just really, and I've also met some really fascinating other people across the world, and you know, it's just been amazing. And it has been a lesson in, if you just open yourself up to something completely new, who knows where it's going to take you.
Nice. Yeah, absolutely. It's that suspension of disbelief, isn't it? So
yeah,
I mean, I've read a few things in the last year, and one of these things said, look, you don't have to believe, but you just have to suspend disbelieving.
Yeah.
So, you know, you don't have to be fully gung-ho and all of a sudden, you know, completely into this, but just don't dismiss it. Just be open to it, which is exactly what you're saying, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's, you know, just being open to that. And I think that applies in so many different facets and sort of, you know, bringing it back to specifically business. I think when we sit there and think, oh, I've got nothing to learn, then that's kind of the death knell, isn't it? But being open to, even if it's a subject, and this is why I'm so pleased that we've got people on the Complete Trainer who are, by lots of people's standards, successful in business.
Yeah.
And successful in what they're doing and real sort of powerhouses for what they do. But they also recognise that, you know, every day's a learning day, so to speak. Mm. But there's always something new to learn. And if you can train yourself to not be, well, I don't need to listen to that because I know what I need to know about that thing. You almost take yourself back to the beginning. You take yourself back to this open learning state.
Then
you never know what you're going to pick up and what sort of, you know, neurons that's going to fire in your brain and what connections it's going to make for you and how things will turn out. So that's absolutely like an amazing experience.
You know, totally. I mean, you couldn't have expressed it in a better way there, you know, Jeanette, because there is, I've just learned so much, you know, so much. And I recognise, you know, and as well, there is just so much still to learn. And I've also felt, you know, really privileged because, you know, Michael and Robert are really acknowledged as, you know, the best teachers in this particular business, you know, and they are absolutely amazing in the knowledge that that they have and that they share. And it's just been incredible, you know. And now this, as I say, this next little journey I'm on now in this, you know, in this Course in Miracles thing, it's like, oh my god, you know, like this exercise to do every day. And again, it's like you don't really, and they do freely acknowledge that it is quite a difficult sort of you know, text. I mean, it's massive. I haven't even bought the book because they said, actually, there's probably no need to, just stick with the lessons every day and they'll explain stuff and just stick with it. You don't have to understand everything, but just let it, you know, wash over you. And then at some point it all slots into place, you know, which is...
Well, it's like meditation practices and that kind of thing, isn't it?
Yeah, that kind of thing. Yeah, you don't have to, you just let it all, you know, slush about and... And then at some point, you know, it will all come to understand it all. So,
totally.
Yeah, so it's been, amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Brilliant. Yeah. Wow.
Yes, that was my weekend.
Okay. My weekend. We'll have to start calling you Sharon Woo Woo Gaskin, won't we?
Well, I'm definitely the woo woo. I'm full on woo woo now.
Wow. See, even a year ago.
I know.
You can't go off there. You're off screen.
Oh, the sun is right in my flipping eyes.
Well,
it's like
move your webcam around, but you're half off screen there. I know you don't want to watch yourself on Zoom, but you know. There we go. Sorry, YouTube people, but you know, I will get her on camera and to stay on camera. I promise. All right. So, what we're going to talk about this week then? Our top of mind topic.
Oh, before we do that,
yes.
I just must show you. Remember last week we were talking about the notebook?
Oh, yes.
And, so I got really excited because I thought, I'm going to buy some new notebooks. I'm going to have a new podcast notebook.
Yeah.
So I bought, wait for it. Where are they now? So, oh, there's amazing people on Amazon. Look at that.
Oh, wow. Look at this
squirrel notebook.
Excellent.
Purple squirrel notebook. You know, and then I got this other lovely one. It was like,
oh, that's pretty.
Beautiful. Yeah. So I did all that, and I got very excited because I thought that can be my podcast notebook.
Very good.
And I found the other one.
Now, at the moment, anybody listening to this, rather than watching, is going to be going, "What's that sound? What's that sound that keeps, you know, like this on the desk?"
I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. So
waiting to tell me.
If you remember, listeners and viewers, last week we couldn't get Sharon's microphone to work, but we've sorted it for this week, but it is much more sensitive than the other microphone. So before we started recording, I said, just be a bit careful about, you know, putting your hands on your desk or slamming the desk or doing anything, because it'll all come across on the microphone. So what's Sharon doing? Oh, yes, we'll go. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Making sounds all over the place. So sorry if your ears are blown out at all. But, you know, we're just very excited about new notebooks. I've got a new notebook as well. So
have you? Let's have a look at yours then. Now I've shown you mine.
Look at
that. Oh, my God, that looks like the Bible.
I know. And it's got, there is my name on it.
Wow.
Well, this was a gift. I say a gift. It was something that was sent to me as a sort of a welcome, let's get started thing for the Master Persuasion.
Okay. Yes.
So when that, and it's leather as well. So of course,
very nice.
I mean, I know, you know, you're veggie and all the rest of it, but yeah. for anybody that isn't offended by the smell of leather, it is gorgeous. It's almost too pretty to write in. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I do know what you mean. Yeah, my squirrel one is too.
Do I have to? Yes, you do. You've got to use these things. There's no point being dust gatherers. But, yeah. So yeah. All right. Any other revelations before we move on to Top of Mind?
No, that was it. Yeah, I'm done with revelation.
Oh my word. We will see where this journey goes. All right. Okay. So Top of Mind topic this week. Do you want to introduce it or shall I?
You introduce it, because you've already started talking about it, I believe, on your Facebook Facebook group.
Yes. So one of the things I'm doing in the Get That Gang Facebook group is going in every weekday, hopefully every weekday morning, but sometimes it might not be the morning depending on what I'm doing, and just doing a quick live 2-minute tip video. And you know, the whole idea is just really to give people something to stimulate their thinking if they're in the mood to watch something that's not very long, and to just have something that can, as we were saying, swirl around, slosh around in your head, to just stimulate some thinking. And the one that I did this morning was actually one that I was supposed to do last week when Facebook went, I can't do lives anymore, for whatever reason. So I thought, oh, well, I'll do it this morning instead. And it was all about not worrying about getting everyone to like you or having everyone like you and what you do and what you put out there and all the rest of it. And I guess the kind of the flip side to that is getting used to the fact that some people just won't want to work with you. They won't, for whatever reason, you won't be their cup of tea. I guess is where we were going with this. It was sparked by a couple of things, one of which was somebody saying something along the lines of, just think back to every single person that you have encountered throughout the course of your life, whether that's business, person, or whatever. You haven't liked every single person that's come across your path. There will have been some people who you just took an instant dislike to. There will have been some people who you kind of, oh, they're all right, but you know, I wouldn't choose to go and have a cup of tea with them or go and have a pint or whatever. And then there are some people who thought, oh yeah, they're really nice, and then you think, actually, no, I'm not quite sure about them. And of course, there's a whole raft of people who have stayed with us, who have become friends, sometimes more than friends, you know, sometimes you know, these have developed into really strong friendships. But that doesn't happen with every single person you come across. So quite why, when we go into business, we suddenly get this feeling that we have to have everybody like us and we have to have everybody appreciative of what we do and all that kind of stuff, I think is quite a weird thing, you know, I hadn't really thought about it in that way, and certainly it's something that afflicted me in the beginning when I was thinking about putting out social media posts and that kind of thing, expressing any kind of opinion that might offend somebody really took up far more time than it should have done, because I was sort of, you know, trying to write things in a way that people wouldn't be able to take exception to, and of course that was then, that limiting belief was reinforced when I did rush to answer or rush to comment on something and somebody took it in a different way to the way I'd intended it. And it was like, oh no, you see, I have to take time over these things and I have to make sure that, you know, I run in such a way that nobody can be offended. And actually, you tie yourself in knots and you spend far too long worrying about writing something that couldn't possibly offend anybody, and yet people still get offended.
Yeah,
just a ridiculous thing to have that expectation that A, everybody's going to like you, and B, everybody's going to subscribe to your point of view when you don't have that expectation of anybody else.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, it absolutely makes sense. Sorry, I was slightly distracted there by Jen. She's having I don't know what she's dreaming about, but, you know.
It's something.
She's having a mighty old twitching session there with her head on the cushion and in her chair. She's always in her chair for the podcast,
you know.
Doesn't seem to be in the chair for any other time, but she must know. Maybe she can hear. She can hear your dulcet tones, you see. She's got to have
position. So she has to interrupt, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. She's dreaming. Oh, she's opened her eyes. You see, she heard you then. She's opened her eyes.
Yeah, you and me, Jem. You and me. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, bless her.
All right.
Oh, yeah, so. I think you're absolutely right. And I think really what you're talking about is, you know, it's the N word again, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's the old niching, because you can't, you know, I've always believed that the right people will find their way to you.
Yes.
You know, I don't know quite how it happens, but it certainly seems to, you know, it's, and I think once you kind of recognize that, all of a sudden it feels a little bit more kind of doable, because you're not trying to, you're not trying to reach everybody. You're not trying to talk to everybody. You're not trying to have everybody on your mailing list and subscribe to your stuff. You just want to have the people who you know you can help. You know who are the people who are going to resonate with you, and you know your values and the way you see the world and the way you do business. And all of a sudden, once you realise that, you can just kind of let go, can't you? It's actually quite liberating when you realise that.
It so is. And this is why, for anybody that has ever spoken to me about niching, and I know I've mentioned it in the Complete Trainer group and in Future Fit last year as well, if you try and tell me that your niche is anyone who or everyone who, that is not a niche. It's not a niche, because you cannot possibly create any kind of messaging for everyone or anyone. You've got to have a picture of your ideal client or your ideal customer or your ideal buyer, however you choose to describe them, so that when you're putting out any kind of messaging, whether it's an email, a social media post, a blog post, whatever it might be, imagine you are in conversation with that person. Mm-hmm. And if your niche supposedly includes anyone or everyone, then you cannot imagine that person. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it just makes life so much more difficult for you. Plus also, you may not have recognised it, but you will have this constant feeling of not being able to be yourself. Excuse me.
Oh, gosh.
So, you know, I mean, I took a decision a long time ago that I was going, my writing style, for anybody that's ever read anything that I've written or listened to anything that I've spoken or watched me at all in any videos, I like to think that my style is pretty similar across those three areas, mm-hmm. because I just cannot be bothered to not be me.
No,
it sounds crazy, but it's so much easier being me. It's so much easier writing the way I talk, you know, obviously with a little bit more grammar and punctuation thrown in. But, you know, it's just so much easier to do that, because, you know, and here's the phrase that, again, I've used previously, your vibe attracts your tribe. And that's why the right people come along, because it will be the people who go, actually, I like the way she puts things. I like the way she describes it. I like the feeling that I get when I listen to, read or watch her. That's great. Those are the people I want to attract. You know, and I'm not much fussed about trying to win over those people that go, actually, she's not for me. Okay, fine.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to waste my time in that. Now, I would suggest that probably you more than me at this stage have had a few people within your network who you look back and think, what are you doing here? Because all they seem to want to do is moan. And all they seem to want to do is point out ways in which you're doing things incorrectly. And you know exactly what I'm talking about here.
Yes.
But if you tied yourself up in knots trying to win those people over, then you are neglecting the people who are going, hi, I really like you.
Yeah.
I want to hear more of what you've got to say.
Yeah.
And that is why it's sort of, you know, it's one of those things where I think it's so important for us to, obviously, yes, niche, but to have that clear picture of who it is we're trying to talk to, who we would like to be in conversation with, and what we would be comfortable saying to them, and how we would be comfortable saying what we need to say to those people, because it just makes life easier. And what are we after? It's got to be easy.
Easy, got to be joyful. I was just, you took the words right out of my mouth there. This is all part of it. You know, it's all part of it, because, you know, when you attract the right people to you, what you end up doing is then when you're working with those people, they're just a joy to work with, because they're so in tune with you, and they kind of, you know, you're on their wavelength and they understand you and you understand them. And it's just a lot easier. Thinking about writing stuff, and I often, when I'm writing my newsletter on a Friday, there's sort of a little sort of personal blurb I do at the start of it. And I write something, and I constantly literally just sort of sit back and then go, would you actually say that, Sharon? Would you say that? And I know you wouldn't say that. So just write it as you would say it, you know, because it has to be. Has to be authentic. So you've got to write as if it's actually coming out of your mouth, you know.
For sure. And I think the other thing to sort of throw into the mix here as well, and part of the reason why I wanted to bring it up, not only in the 2-minute tip in the Get That Going this morning, but also on the podcast, was I happened to catch up with a YouTube video from a guy called Jeff Walker, who is, for anybody that doesn't know, he's kind of the granddaddy of online launching. You know, he wrote the book Launch, he runs a program called Product Launch Formula. And it's a blueprint to launching anything. He's not the only launch strategist out there. I've studied with others. But he is kind of generally accepted to be the guy that was there at the beginning. And he is, in his video, he was talking about how he is not rewriting his book, but he's just bringing it up to date, because it was first published in, I think he said, 2014, something like that. It's due for a review and all the rest of it. And he's saying, what he did was go onto Amazon, and he went onto the .com site, and he said he was just going to look through some of the reviews. And he said, you know, I'm very, very blessed. I've got more than 1,500 five-star reviews, but those weren't the ones I was looking at. What I wanted to find were the ones that were less than five stars. And he said there seems to be this real extreme of five-star or one-star, and very little in between. Yeah. So he thought, well, I'll go and look at the one-star ones to see what people are saying, to see if there's an easy win in there for me. Is there something that I can fix easily in the next version of the book that will help? And he said what was extraordinary was that he could have five-star reviews sitting almost side by side a one-star review. And these people had clearly had such hugely different experiences with exactly the same book that there was almost no point in taking any notice of the one-star reviews. Because he was saying there's this one lady who he has since tracked down and will be doing a case study interview with, who gave him a five-star review for the book and basically said, off the back of this book, I have built an eight-figure business. And eight figures is 10 million plus a year, right? So it's in dollars, it's .com. So not a British eight-figure business. Anyway. You know, this woman has been able to be incredibly successful off the back of the launch strategies that she got from the book. And virtually next door to that review was a one-star review from somebody in one sentence just saying, don't know what all the hype is about, complete load of rubbish, didn't get anything from this, zero stars. I was like, okay. What is the point? And this is exactly what he was saying. What is the point of trying to please the one-star person? Yeah. I mean, apart from anything else, they hadn't offered any sort of serious critique or anything that he could use to improve the book. But clearly, they'd had a completely different experience to the other person. Yeah. And who would he rather work with? Well, of course he'd rather work with the person who's had a great experience.
Absolutely. You don't need to go. I'm sure he didn't go off and rewrite his whole book.
Not in the slightest.
Because of that one person,
right? Exactly. And yet we are drawn to the negative feedback.
As trainers, I think that is a standard. That's pretty standard, you know, that people will always, you know, waste such a huge amount of energy on that one person who said something, you know, less than, you know, perfect about yeah. about your training or whatever. And you know, why do we do that to ourselves?
I know.
You know?
Maybe we need some more spiritual resilience, eh?
Oh, well, I was just about to say, you know, got me started on that. But, you know,
I mean, there isn't a single person in the world that is universally loved by everybody. Even, dare I say it, the amazing, wonderful, extraordinary Sir David Attenborough, who is national treasure and all the rest of it.
He's
not universally loved. You know, there are people. My mum was one of them. She said, "Oh, I can't listen to him anymore. He's so doom and gloom." I was like, "Well, there is a climate emergency, Mum." Well, he's still so doom. Yeah, exactly. But you know, the point is this: you're not the next David Attenborough. None of us, I would venture to suggest, are the next David Attenborough. And therefore, even achieving that national treasure status level, there are still people who don't like him. Why we are expecting any of us to be in a position where there are going to be, you know, everybody who comes across us and our work and our messaging, we're going to be university loved. It's bonkers, you know, and you cannot subscribe to somebody's point of view, and you can feel like their stuff isn't for you. You don't have to say it to their face. Just don't engage. It's a completely different thing to trolls on the internet. It's nothing to do with that. It's just accepting the fact that sometimes some people just aren't going to be, or you're not going to be their cup of tea, and they aren't going to be your cup of tea. So let's go, all right, fair enough, and move on.
Absolutely. Right, good stuff. Should we move on to the dog walking digest?
So I alluded to it a little bit already, which was that Scamp loves the snow, but a new thing for him this time around, which he hasn't done previously. He's only seen snow probably two or three times since I've had him. But a new thing this time around was, I was talking about earlier, was eating the snow, which was just really
cheap dog food.
I know. And it was very, very odd, because he's never shown any inclination to do that before. He loves it when it's frosty. He really loves it when it's frosty. And I knew he liked it in the snow. But it was almost as if he'd been doing it all his life. But I have never seen him do it. It was just, you know, run, run, run. Oh, yeah, I'll eat that bit. Where did that come? Why? How did you know to do? I mean, yeah, okay. Obviously, it's frozen water. But at the same time, it's just kind of, you know, having not seen him do that before, it's like, are you particularly hot? I mean, it's quite a cold day. But anyway, it was very odd indeed. But he loves it, so that's all right.
Oh, that's really good. Well, we didn't have any eating snow incidents here, but she did fall, like, she did slip on the ice a couple of times, which...
Oh, no. Poor Jem.
I know. She, as I was saying to you before, when we let her out into the back garden, so... If you can imagine, out the kitchen door, we've got like a sort of patio, and then we have steps down into the rest of the garden. And when you open the door, we have a table on the patio. When you open the door to that, actually always runs around the table twice around the table, and then goes down the steps. Yeah. So she did this yesterday. She ran twice around the table and then down the steps. She got to the top of the steps, and there was a big patch of ice there, and she just, whoa.
Oh, no.
It's like, standing on there, Jem.
Thing. Oh dear.
And then ran down, and apparently he had a little bit of a slipping incident this morning on a walk as well, but other than that, she's fine and sitting in her chair, you know, dreaming of whatever she's dreaming about.
Absolutely.
Slipping on the ice,
probably. Well, yeah, it could be, couldn't it? It's odd, isn't it? And of course, you don't want her to have any nasty accidents or anything like that.
No, I don't want to have to take her to the vet or anything, you know. Any of that, thank you. Mm-mm, at the moment.
Not at all. Ah, well, one thing I have noticed at the moment is there are an awful lot more people out walking their dogs than would be normally. You know, I get, obviously, people have jobs and all that kind of thing. But what I've been trying to do, I think I mentioned this last week, I've certainly talked about it previously, is I've been trying to do Scamp's long walk first thing in the morning, because otherwise there's just too many people around. I think I mentioned this to you off podcast last week. Screaming kids everywhere.
Now.
Children. We've all been there. Of course they do. Yes, in an enclosed environment away from me. But
Oh dear. You were probably one of those really annoying people that I used to really get on my nerves when my children were having tantrums. Well, you know, Ryan had had tantrums, of course, but, you know, Amy did.
Of course.
Golden boy. Oh, but I could write a book on the incidents, you know, we had with Amy when she was little. And, you know, and it's stressful. It's really stressful.
Totally.
And what you don't want is somebody like you cutting and making you feel awful when you're so stressed trying to deal with this child.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Let me defend my honour here before you jump down my throat about something I haven't actually done. Kids having tantrums in supermarkets, I have every sympathy for. My brother was like that when he was little. Dreadful child. But this is not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is kids playing but screaming while they're playing, right? So as soon as they get into the park, all they want to do is run around, just like this. You don't need to do that. You can play and you can have fun and all the rest of it without screaming constantly. A tantrum is a totally different thing. I have every sympathy for parents where the child is inconsolable for whatever reason. You know, they want the sun to be red or something. And, you know, there's nothing you can do about that. But when you've got, you know, parents talking, and this is particular to things like, as well, back in the days when we were allowed to sit in restaurants and that kind of thing, parents sitting in the corner ignoring little Johnny and Sophie that are running around the restaurant knocking into everybody's chair going like this, and the parents are just like, oh yeah, whatever. No, you're in society now, you're in polite company, control your kids. Because those same people would be exactly the same people that would say, control your dog. Like, yeah. Okay, yeah, all right, yeah, see,
rant over.
Anyway, I have a point. But even that, right, to bring it back to what we were talking about, there are going to be some people listening to this going, I'm with Sharon. And then there are going to be other people listening to, yeah, I'm with Jeanette on that one. But I am happily child-free, as you may have guessed.
Yes.
So I've never had to. Well, actually, that's not quite true. So I've got step nieces and nephews and godchildren and that kind of thing. But yeah, for some reason, Auntie Jeanette always managed to keep them in line. I don't know.
Yes, indeed. I can imagine.
It's probably pulling on the lead and the collar that probably did. Yeah. I'm not that bad. Anyway, anything else for the dog walking guide?
No, I was just thinking on that note, I think it's on that bombshell, I think it's time to say goodbye for the week.
Brilliant. Well, thank you as always, lovely listeners, lovely watchers, if you're watching us on YouTube, for your time and patience with what we've got to talk about. And we will see you again next week. Take care. Bye.
Yeah, we certainly will. Bye. Have a good week.